What's up, Asteroids? Chewie here, welcoming you to episode 12 of the Asteroid Factory podcast. Today, we're talking Joker, the new movie by Todd Phillips, starring Joaquin Phoenix. Now, before I start the podcast, I just want to say thank you to all the guys and gals who have listened to us and have liked us and shared us. It means the world to us. You can find out more information about this episode and all other episodes at our website, asteroidfactory.com. There you can leave us a voicemail that you could hear on a future podcast. Please follow us on social media. We're on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. And if you like the show, please tell anyone you can. Anything you can do to spread the word helps us out. You can subscribe to us on iTunes, rate and review us. You can listen to us on pretty much any podcatcher of your choice. We thank you again for listening, and please remember to always put yo ankles in it. And without further ado, Murray, bring in the clowns.
All right.
We'll cool that shit out.
Hey there, guys and gals. Welcome to another episode of the Asteroid Factory podcast, where nerd knowledge is on point. We are your hosts, James Von Doom.
I'm Chewie.
I'm Three Toes of Fury. What up?
We're talking Joker.
Yes.
We're talking lots of Joker.
Yep.
But
only
first.
Only Joker?
Mm-hmm.
I think we're only talking Joker today.
Good.
Because we just saw the Joker.
So a lot of people don't know that.
And people are going to die this weekend.
To shave his mustache, so they painted over it. And I'm talking.
I thought I noticed that.
I'm talking about Cesar Romero.
Yeah, Cesar Romero.
Oh.
Yeah. We'll talk a lot about Cesar Romero in this cast.
Never mind. I'm not going to go there.
Step off if you're going to step off. No,
I wasn't going to step off.
66 Batman.
Well, it is terrible, but that's not what I was going to say.
Okay.
But before Joker, we need to talk about some news.
Yep.
And the news is Scorsese. Martin Scorsese has come out. Have you heard this?
No. Oh, is it about the movie?
No.
About a different movie.
This is about something else. So this isn't Joker related. However, I think he's taking the opportunity to come out now when the Joker's out to say this. So his quote is, honestly, the closest I can think of them, he's referring to the MCU movies, as well made as they are, with actors doing the best they can under the circumstances.
I like how the voice gradually got more and more like him.
I gradually decided to do an impersonation. Sorry.
It's good. Keep going.
Is theme parks, Scorsese said of the Marvel movies specifically. It isn't the cinema of human beings trying to convey emotional, psychological experiences to another human being. It's garbage. I added it's garbage at the end.
Wasn't he a blowfish in a Pixar movie?
I think he was a shark.
Was he?
So go fuck.
Shark Tale.
Yeah,
correct?
Shark Tale.
He was a blowfish.
That's all I could think of. I closed my eyes and I just started picturing Chewie as a blowfish, reading that quote.
Yeah.
Are you in drugs? Dude, that's a legit quote from him?
That's a legit quote from Scorsese.
Me.
It's like,
however,
no offense, but who gives a shit?
Right.
Is the person that I think is going to be anointed head of the MCU sometime in the future has come out immediately to state something. Did you know this?
No.
James Gunn came out to immediately say that he is saddened that Martin Scorsese, one of his favorite filmmakers, has dismissed Marvel movies as not cinema and compared them to theme parks. He stated in one of his tweets that Martin Scorsese is one of my five favorite living filmmakers. I was outraged when people picketed The Last Temptation of Christ without having seen the film. I'm saddened that he's now judging mine in the same way.
Well, no, it's like, I was talking to Chew about this. It's like when you saw The Departed.
Yep.
And Leonardo DiCaprio got his brains blown out.
Spoilers.
Spoiler alert. Did you care? I really didn't give a shit.
I liked that movie,
it was a good film. But like, what I mean is, like, even like the character development and all of his, like I don't think I ever cared when any character got killed in a Martin Scorsese movie. But I fucking cried like a baby when Iron Man died.
Spoiler alert.
Oh shit.
No, and that's on point. There's an irony in this. I was listening to a podcast earlier today with, do you guys know John Hodgman? Funny guy, author, was in the old Mac PC commercials.
Oh, yeah.
He was on being interviewed on a podcast about his favorite movie or movies, and he went on this huge diatribe about Avengers. Avengers.
Can we get diatribe using a sentence?
Absolutely. I am gaining some weight and going on a diet. I got nothing. I'll work on it later. He could have picked anything. And even the host was like, I figured you'd pick some like classic movie, Casablanca. He's like, no, if you look at the MCU and these movies and what they've done to build the characters and the stories and the backstories and human emotion and how the fact that Endgame is a movie about dealing with loss. It's absolutely how everybody deals with loss on a very mature level. that all flies in the face of what Scorsese has said here and proves Scorsese 100% wrong. Because Scorsese is basically attacking comic book movies like somebody who doesn't watch comic book movies and just attacks them.
Oh, yeah.
He's just like, they're all the same. And if you actually watch these movies and give them a chance, you'll realize, fuck no, the MCU has done things that nobody has ever done before.
I'd like to see, like, you know, maybe we can have a movie where Scorsese just rolls all his in, and it can be the Departed Goodfellas in the casino.
Oh.
And let's just see how he can weave a web of, you know, an interconnected universe.
Do you think the gangster film is going to take off the way superhero films have?
No, it never will.
No.
I mean, even in its heyday,
you're never going to, I mean, I don't know any genre really that's going to be able to do what comic book movies have done recently.
There will be, there will be one.
Eh.
There was the Western.
Yeah,
true.
But on this level,
probably not. Yeah.
But the thing is, I fucking love his movies, Scorsese. But this statement is it's horseshit. He just wants to stir the pot.
But Gunn, being the gentleman that he is,
you think he's gonna be like the new head of?
Dude, he is. You know what I'm gonna start calling him from now is Phoenix, because Gunn has risen from the ashes.
Oh. And,
thank you. Maybe because I just watched 2 minutes of that X-Men movie. Horseshit. But Gunn, have you seen what he's been doing lately with the Suicide Squad stuff and the bridging of DC and MCU and the positivity around it? That motherfucker is out there shaking hands and hugging babies.
I can't see it. There's no way. Like, you mean he's the next?
I think he's the next Feige.
Kevin Feige.
I think so.
Feige. There's no way. I can't. Like that way. I don't know if, I mean, if anything, like the Russo brothers would be that, like, they did like the four biggest, but I'm saying, I don't know if any director could be the head of the MCU in the terms of like a mastermind, but I can see maybe him becoming the Russo brothers.
Yeah.
It's an interesting pick because he's obsessive compulsive about the comics and the history and stuff like that. And you kind of need somebody who does that.
And I hear he's really good friends with Feige. Good friends.
No, I'm glad he's back.
And Bob Iger.
I don't know why I said sorry. I'm excited for the Suicide Squad. I said sadly, but I think I was being too ironic.
Yeah.
I am excited for it.
I'm interested. I know he'll do a way better version than anybody has touched it before.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I also want to get back to
Guardians. As long as executive producer is Zack Snyder still, I think we'll be fine.
We're going to be great.
Snyder. Well, like I was saying, so like the gentleman he is.
Is he the executive producer?
No. like the gentleman.
Be careful what you wish for. Fist.
Like the gentleman Gunn is, he said, so after that statement, he said, that said, he's added as much to cinema as anyone, and I'll always love him, and I can't wait to see The Irishman.
Right. So, same. So, yes, same.
Yeah. So Scorsese says, I'm not going to watch that garbage.
And he takes the high road.
Yeah. And Gunn's like, I'll watch his movie 10 times because I love him so much.
No one watches his movies 10 times.
No.
How many times have you seen The Departed? Okay, Goodfellas is
Goodfellas is the movie I've seen the most.
Yeah, that one I have watched multiple times. But like, yeah, Casino I saw once when I was 10. Thanks, Dad. And I saw it again like when I was 25. And I was like, I'm good.
Yeah.
But yeah, damn, Goodfellas is a bad example. But
this is actually a good segue into today's cast because we'll be talking about Scorsese, I think, a bunch, maybe.
Let's segue right into it then.
Let's do it. What are we talking about today?
Joker.
The Joker. Murray.
So first things first, there's no...
That was like my key takeaway. Murray.
It's not bad. It's...
You kept saying it.
It's pretty good. It's good. We can't do this show without spoiler conversations.
Are we spoiling?
I didn't want to do a spoiler alert because I like spoiling people.
Yeah, you do.
You dick.
And you like laughs.
Who the fuck is the super villain?
You laugh is because we only heard it for 2 hours.
I know.
That laugh was constant. But it,
I'm going to start laughing and then like burping and then snorting and choking all at the same time.
Laughing in a sad, depressing way.
Yeah, so I think Thritos was saying that if you haven't seen the movie, keep listening because we want you to listen to us. But
this is a spoiler alert?
Yeah, this is a spoiler
alert. I feel it almost has to be.
All right.
Otherwise, there's almost nothing
we can't
to say
do spoiler
about
free.
I agree.
It's going to be hard to do spoiler full.
Right. You know what occurred to me this morning, and we'll get there, but at the end of that movie, because of like one of my favorite things about it is where it fucks with perception. Mm-hmm. And we see things through his eyes and reality isn't what reality seems.
Yeah.
At the end of the movie, as we leave that movie, we don't actually know what was real and what wasn't real. We think we do.
I feel like
I have a note about that.
Do.
I don't know if we do.
I feel like you do That's like too big picture. Like, do you think the whole thing was fake?
I'm not saying that, but I'm saying that because the movie takes you down certain roads from the very beginning. Yeah. The first, early on in the movie, where he is fantasizing about being on the Carson show in the crowd and called down, which is all just fantasy. But then later, the stuff that becomes reality out of that, and you're like, fuck, that was reality. That's fake. It sets the stage for, we don't know what is and isn't real unless the movie revealed that to us.
Which I had a little bit of a problem with.
It's tricky.
Yeah, because the movie was trying to be very ambiguous. Mm. Very ambiguous, unless it wasn't. And then it painted in broad strokes. There's this moment in the movie where the Joker, or the viewer, realizes that the Joker's girlfriend wasn't his girlfriend.
Massive.
Well, I knew you knew. I thought you thought it wasn't.
Oh, yeah. I kind of knew that going, like...
You guys called that surprise. That.
Yeah. I kind of figured that at some point, going like, this doesn't make sense.
I read that in an article. And if
it did make sense, I didn't like it.
Not in an article, but it's like, they basically said, like, you should know what's real and what's not. There are, like, some blurred lines. But, yeah, like, it just didn't make sense. Like, the minute he, like, walks into her apartment and just starts kissing her. And I'm like, I know, I don't believe that's real. I just don't.
It was really hot. But it didn't make any sense.
Totally fooled me. The only thing that I questioned was when they were in the hospital with his mom, and they're sitting there. I'm like, who's taking care of her kid? Which is such a weird thing. I was like, huh, that doesn't quite jive. And that's,
I was thinking the same
and
thing.
And I was just like,
where's her daughter?
Yeah.
Is she leaving her alone in that shithole?
Right. But that was just a finite detail. I that one caught me completely off guard, and I was like, motherfuckers, this guy is so depressing and sad and broken and down, and I'm not defending him. We're going to talk about that in a minute. But the one ray of light that they give you and they feed you in this movie up until that halfway point, excuse me, is the girlfriend.
Yeah.
And this, like, hope. And she's fucking all in his head. I'm like, motherfucker, this movie is just doubling down on sadness at that point.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about the transition first then.
Okay.
Did you enjoy the transition from where he started to where he ended? Because I have this feeling that upon multiple viewings, even though I'm not really itching to watch this movie again right away,
no.
I think upon multiple viewings, I think I noticed something after watching the movie, and I think that is that there are scenes where he was very much Arthur Fleck,
mm-hmm.
and there's scenes where he was abnormally suave and smooth. And they kind of juxtapose them against each other. I believe it might be like a Fight Club thing where those scenes where he was suave and smooth are the ones where you should really be thinking what you're seeing is not really reality, at least to the viewer.
This is something I wonder,
that's how it goes.
But I thought that was real. Like, I thought the suave parts were, it made sense. He started to gain confidence. Like, that was like his... I don't want to say alter ego, but that was like the Joker starting to bust through. Like, he's like, look, I just killed three dudes. And not only did it make, like,
yeah, I guess you're right,
me feel good, but, like, people are like, yeah, kill the rich. And he was like, holy shit, yeah. You know, I don't think he obviously it wasn't like a monetary thing for him. I don't think he knew they were investment bankers, but he just, you know, they were beating the shit out of him. And, like, yeah, everyone is there. Maybe not getting the shit beat out of him on a train, but, yeah, I mean...
The smooth thing is something I was thinking about earlier today, where I wanted to describe him as almost retarded.
Oh, jeez. Let's use the word.
I'm going to go like mentally damaged.
Thank you.
He's 100% mentally damaged. But as I was trying to think of, like, this character is like, he is so, it's not even crazy. Like, he's mentally damaged. We hear the backstory. He was beaten as a kid. But then I was like, but there's some scenes, and the same ones you just articulated about. There was the scene with the two police on the bench outside the hospital. And then there was a scene later, I'll look it up, where he suddenly can complete his thoughts. He can come across very intelligent and very well thought. And I was like, wow. So he's really all over the boards with his mental state.
Because
he has the ability to compose himself. And almost he was irritated with them, where he's covering his trail.
Yeah.
Which it was amazing. And kind of flicking the cigarette and being all like, what do you guys think? He was like cocky.
Yeah. That little comedic moment, though, where he runs into the glass door. It didn't fit for me.
I kind of liked it.
I like, liked it.
Because right after his cocky move. Because
how many moments like that were in the movie? One?
Two, I think.
What was the second one? I think there's a second one, too, where there's like a comedic beat or something physical happens.
Well, it wasn't physical, but like the only other time I like laughed out loud, and I think I heard the audience laugh, was when he was bathing his mother, and he's like, you know, I'm going to be a comedian. And she's like, well, don't you have to be funny to be a comedian?
Yes.
And it was so well delivered, and like, he didn't even know how to reply. Like, that was the only other the moment where I'm like, okay, they're going for comedy. Those two moments. Yep. And I don't know if it was supposed to be funny, but when that little person was crying and that dude, I was like, I was choking back tears.
No, but like, it was uncomfortable tears. Like, it was uncomfortable laughter and because like you, that guy was trapped and you didn't know that you actually didn't know what type of joke.
And that like the tension was like, I really didn't feel like scene. The joke was going to hurt him. I didn't. And then that was one of my favorite scenes is like, they were playing with you the whole time. And then you're like, then you laugh because the little person can't reach the top lock. And I'm like, oh, come on. Like, I know that's supposed to be funny, and it is. And then he opens the door and he's like, he shuts it.
Shuts
I'm like,
the door.
I'm like, no, don't kill the little person. And then he's like, you were the only one who was ever nice to me. And
yes.
He kisses his forehead. I'm like, this is a roller coaster of emotions.
Right? Yes.
Like, I'm laughing, then I'm scared, and then I'm laughing again.
That might have been the best scene in the movie.
Yeah, I think it is. I do think it is. It's kind of on board with Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, scene at the ranch. With the idea of tension, and it takes you in a certain direction and twists it. Because frankly, with the little person was trying to get to the lock, I was like, motherfucker, the Joker thought all through this, did that on purpose, trapped him in there. I'm like, he's going to fucking kill him. And I was like, he has to kill him. He's a witness.
Oh, yeah.
He has to.
But then
he lets him go. I was like, what? And I think kind of the beauty of the Joker character in every incarnation in this particular one is he doesn't even have that self-preservation like feeling about that scene
at all.
He's not like, I'm covering my trail, I'm covering my tracks. He's just kind of rolling with his craziness.
He said it on the talk show at the end. Right. Like, I have nothing left to lose. Like, he has no friends. He killed his mother. I mean,
like, he just admits it. Like, I'm like, he's not trying. He doesn't have any master plan. He has no plan, no direction. And he doesn't even care. Like, let the guy go. He's legit just like, man, you were a good guy to me. I was like, wow, that was a great scene.
Yeah.
Great scene.
Back to the transformation. I felt the transformation was really fulfilling for me.
Yep.
However, I'm not sure if I'm completely on board with the Joker that was delivered in the talk show scene. Like, it's a very strange Joker.
Yep.
Like, I enjoyed the Joker that kissed the little guy on his head before he let him out the door. Because I'm like, that, to me, feels like a dark, demented Joker moment. I like the Joker who is on the car at the end of the movie that like smears the blood on his face to create the smile. I thought that was kind of cool. I like the Joker seeing people that he's affected and seeing people do things because of what he's done. Like, but I, for some reason, like the way he played him in that scene was felt kind of, I can't think of the word.
Unauthentic? Inauthentic?
Maybe he got too whiny.
Like, see, too baby-like. That was Mike. Favorite part of the movie.
I love this scene.
And not only was it my favorite part of the movie because it was
show.
The climax,
yep.
The talk show, but like in the comics, I feel like the Joker is that person that everyone really thinks like, oh, this guy's, he's scary because he's crazy. Like, he's unpredictable. Like, he kisses little people on the forehead or, you know, stuff like that. But the scariest Joker is when he stops smiling and he's serious. Like, that is like, you know, it's like, this is it. Like, you have pushed even this guy to the point where he's like, I'm going to have to say what I'm going to say, and then a lot of people are going to die. Like, those are the most terrifying moments, and I'm like, I'm glad they went, like, you see, he's like, but, you know, like, he's laughing and joking, but, I mean, that was the breaking point. It really was, and it was awesome to see him serious. Like,
and it was, I think it was kind of his longest chance to kind of expose himself and kind of do some self-analysis.
He exposed himself?
He did. Oh, you didn't see the penis. Yeah. So
there was actually a gimp in the whole time. There was a gimp in the green room.
That was it.
Who do you think wrote put on a happy face on that mirror? Well, it wasn't him.
Mark Maron. So
that was him, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Ugh, what a, like,
I didn't even know De Niro was in this movie. That's how good I did for like zero spoilers.
So going back to the news that we were just talking about.
Yep.
So Mark Maron is another MCU or superhero movie
hater.
Yep. So along with Scorsese, we got Maron. I'm actually happy to state that everything I've watched with Joaquin has been pretty positive about superhero movies. So he hasn't been bashing on stuff.
He's actually
just the whole camp of this movie, like taking down, to take down superhero movies.
It's like they're making hipsters cool again. It's like, let's find the biggest target and just be like, ugh, that sucks. Like,
that's it.
Fuck, what is it, 92 again? Like, are they going to all start wearing flannels and shit?
If it sucked so bad, why did they have to go to a cliche What's the name of the alley?
Crime Alley.
Crime Alley. Why do they have to go to a cliche Crime Alley ending at the end of that movie if they weren't going to go there?
I was surprised any of the Wayne stuff in there was great. And I think it was great. I fucking loved what they did with it. The alley thing was, it was actually kind of nice because every origin story we've ever seen for Batman doesn't really give too much credence to why his parents were killed. But this one,
yeah,
takes it in a whole new direction. And it actually gives it
some more thought. Well, and he found out. Like, they showed it. Because if you didn't show it, and like that was like the Joker's thing at the end. He's like, I was just thinking of a funny joke. And it was like him thinking of like how Thomas Wayne was dead in an alley, like in a shit alley, and he's still alive. And now he's, you know, able to do whatever he wants.
Yeah.
So this brings up a good question. And again, we can go down a million roads. Thomas Wayne, his father or not?
No, definitely not. And that's the beauty of it.
Go on.
No one knows who the Joker is ever. I know I remember like some rumor like, oh, we're going to tell, like, no. I don't ever want to know who the fuck the Joker is. I don't want to ever
know. Well, now you do know who the Joker is on a character level or on a experience level, but you still don't know who he is.
Absolutely. And I was so thrilled when they're like, he was adopted and we don't know his name because he was abandoned as a child. I'm like, perfect. Like, I don't want to know.
And all that Arthur holds true except for the origami unicorn. And by origami unicorn, I mean in the movie Blade Runner, an origami unicorn, which was put into some of the director's cuts, changed the interpretation of everything because it kind of tied back to the fact that he could be a replicant. In this movie, I'll get there.
Is this a dice ship?
The initials on the back of the photo and the quote of his mother change the possible interpretation of everything.
Don't by a little bit.
What did it say? I didn't even...
It said, you look so cute in this picture, TW. That's all it was. It was just a picture. And there's a million ways to interpret it. Could the crazy mom have done that?
Walt Whitman. That's what it was.
That's exactly what I thought of. It was like the scene from Breaking Bad. So what one way of interpreting that, and the way I looked at it right away, was like, everything is not as it's been portrayed. There's a constant like discovery of him of realizing, you're my dad. Oh, you're not my dad. My mom was crazy. She was put into this the actual Arkham Asylum, basically, Hospital. But that photo and that fact that it does show, it indicates there was more to that relationship because it shows that Wayne was like, you're cute in this picture, like kind of playful.
But to Chewie's point, I would have more thought like the mom just wrote it to herself.
It's possible. It's also possible that it feels like there's more there that maybe he slept with her. And if he did, he's powerful enough to have her committed after the fact.
Oh, and say, absolutely. And forge the father. Dots.
Right. There's a million pots. So I like the fact, just like the perception of reality in this movie, that whole relationship, it doesn't tell us at the end. Right. We can interpret it. Just so you say no. Yeah. I tended to lean towards, oh, I think he is the father and just orchestrated her going into the funny farm.
Let's get Maury on here. You are not the father.
The blood test.
That meme, if it's not out there, maybe you need to get on top of that.
That's a pretty good idea. Yeah. That's a pretty good one. But I fucking love
so
that.
So you want Arthur Fleck to be Bruce Wayne's brother?
100%. Exactly. No, what? Ugh.
Oh, I do. Because it's the ultimate kind of like, fuck you to like the fact that it is a bit soap opera.
It's not only that, it's the reason I hate Star Wars if they like reveal in the ninth movie that Rey's parents are actually like that one. It will suck.
It's easy writing.
It's not only easy writing, but that is the ultimate cliche. Like, only if your parentage is like regal and powerful can you be regal and powerful.
No, I'm with you.
But wasn't it the whole thing about the Joker too? Is that you didn't know where you came from, and he wasn't regal and powerful.
No, he was nobody. Yeah. That was the best part. Like he became the clown prince of crime all by himself.
But even in this movie, like, I think another thing that, and I think people are kind of misinterpreting it, because a lot of people are saying that this movie is glorifying him, glorifying violence, glorifying the riots. The movie does a pretty good job with this undertow of the garbage situation in the city, that the city itself is falling to shit. So that never really pays off, other than it isn't so much Joker and his taking out the three douches on the train that sets off the riots. It's this city is imploding, and they use it through the garbage strikes and whatnot.
Oh, yeah.
So I think that the whole ending riot and whatnot, while they used the clown mask as their symbol, it isn't putting him on a pedestal. It's just everybody was pushed to the breaking point. And that's where it ties into it. Because I think there's a lot of people that are saying this movie glorifies it or him. And I didn't get that. I just got they kind of used it as a metaphor within this kind
of I love that end scene because I grew up with, we all grew up with like that like image of Joker with like his henchmen all in like clown masks. And it felt like very much like the origin of that, like being kind of
Yes.
Explained, which I thought was kind
of
cool.
Where he's like up on top of the car, which is awesome. And the scene just before that, when the cops are taking him from the show, it's fucking mirror image of a scene from The Dark Knight when Joker escapes and he's in the back car. So it was a little callback to Dark Knight. It's almost the identical shot, which I was like, that's kind
of
cool.
I thought the shot of the clown walking around the crashed cop car, looking in the window real slow, panning around, coming in, and then him and like two other guys kind of pulling him out, laying him on the hood, was kind of cool.
It's very cool. It's almost like his, religious.
He's the clown Jesus.
Right? They're kind
like of they're pulling him out of the tomb,
laying him on the top of the car. It was very weird but cool.
Yeah. You know, people are going to get killed this weekend. At least that's what the Hollywood Reporter is saying.
What, at the theater?
At the theaters.
Yeah,
because this movie is going to incite riots.
Well, you heard the stuff before that about the army? Like, it made a state. I think it was something.
They were supposed to do increased police protection at all movie theaters.
Supposedly there was. I don't know about ours, but
I was just going to say, like, ours is the biggest in the area, and I didn't see a single cop, which I'm not mad about it, right? Like, I just... Yeah.
Is this because of The Dark Knight?
Yeah.
So partially. The other one, but it was more than that. I mean, that was a big deal from that shooting. But there was, I feel like it was a military statement that they had said that this movie, and it kind of ties to what I was just saying before, incites incel violence. It sends like a positive message about violence.
Like if you've had enough, just take out your anger on the world.
Right. And even reporters, when they are trying to corner Joaquin, they're just like, do you think people, this is going to cause people that are kind of edge to go? And yeah. He's like, that's a ridiculous question. And it is. And some of the statements that were made leading up to this, I was like, fuck, people are using social media. It's hard to say, but it feels like they're using social media to put forward what their interpretation of it is and trying to prevent other people from going. And that, so they threw that warning out. I guarantee you a lot of people didn't go last night because of those warnings.
I was actually surprised at the lower attendance.
I guarantee you that is why.
You think so?
100% guarantee.
It's been up for almost a month.
If you're like, I'm not sure if I'm going to go or not, and there's like the mention of, well, we're going to increase, you know, police protection and shit like that. I'll go on a Sunday morning.
Yep. Opening night.
Exactly. Because isn't that when the Dark Knight shooting was opening night?
Yeah.
In Colorado. So.
And that was the only, I did hear that was the only theater in the entire U.S. that isn't planning to show the movie, which is, I get that. That makes sense. It was a
we're thing. Awesome. But we have balls of steel that we.
Well, but I was going to ask you this beforehand, but I didn't want to spook you. I was like, are you guys hearing about all this news?
Well, yeah. Jackie Tran had mentioned it like the entire day of, and I was like, fuck. I'm like, look.
Is that why he looked a little.
If you don't go, the terrorists win.
Right?
Or the psychos or the dipshits, whatever you want to call them.
The jokers of the world win. No. Which is kind of weird because that's what the whole movie was about, wasn't it? Or a big. A big thread through that movie was about that. Yeah, so meta, man.
It's definitely. So here's another thing is that, well, I don't know what to comment, but the people that he dispatches throughout this movie, I mean, they're different degrees of douche, but like he's straight up villain. Like, do you guys feel that this movie glorified him? No. I feel like
I kind of do. Not glorified him, but they were very, very specific. That he did not hurt an innocent person once.
Like, didn't he?
No.
I don't know. Like,
the three his bankers mother? Were going to either...
Well, I guess
she was probably the worst. Yeah,
what? Like, well, what did she do?
She let him be beat by her boyfriend and lied to him the whole time. He has a mental disability because of her.
She tied him to one furnace.
One radiator and let him...
And beat his head enough.
To not kill him.
Funny.
But
so, God, this movie's depressing. Have we talked about that yet? How depressing it is.
He kills...
Oh, spoiler alert.
The bald guy who tried to frame him for the murder or was like in the process of... Killed the mom, killed the three investment bankers, and then killed Robert De Niro, who was a piece of shit.
The doctor at the end.
That's irredeemable. He was walking out in a pool of blood, man.
Yes, I did, but they don't show it.
Oh, just she's dead.
The footprints.
He was unescorted. You don't let a crazy person walk the halls by himself.
But did that really happen?
Yes.
Okay.
I think that's okay. So that maybe was the.
God, it's so good.
That was the point of no return. He was a vigilante. For the first 2 hours, and then the last 2 minutes, he's like, "Fuck it, I'm just gonna kill everybody."
They glorified. I mean, they made everybody like to be some version of an asshole, but they. I mean, I still don't feel like they're glorifying. They certainly glorify. They give a lot of empathy towards his backstory. Like, well, he's got this horrible past.
I don't know. I mean, it's like, look, this dude killed five people, and not only do people break him out of like the cop car, but they like worship him now. He had become a god, only for like. Being tired of being put down by the man.
Are you okay with the dark, uh, the dark tones and colors that were used to paint Gotham.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I don't
you mean New
that,
York.
Oh yeah. God.
That I mean,
they
I,
had
the,
no shame in that one.
It's like, it's kind of commonplace. I mean, even in the previous movies, they use Chicago.
Yeah, but they didn't. But they didn't really. I mean, only on very small occasions did they really showcase the fact that it was Chicago.
Right,
right.
This one, it was just like, no, it's New York.
That's Manhattan.
I mean, it is. But that's part of it. Is the fact yeah. that I mean, if it wasn't for the Thomas Wayne stuff, this movie and the face paint is almost entirely not a comic book movie. It's just about a guy who's depressed and goes crazy. I mean, it's very lightly tied to any kind of a comic book universe, which is why I think it's going to be so polarizing. I think a lot of people are going to hate it. I think a lot of people are going to love it. But it is so far removed from comic book lore.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it kept the lore for, I mean, it like, yeah, but it really didn't rely on it at all.
You could remove a couple scenes and a couple pieces of information in this movie. It's a depressing look at mental
Joker,
disability.
Falling Down Part 2.
On that note, were there any things that they did in this movie to Doom that you think comic book fans are going to be upset about or rattled or?
Yeah, I'm sure.
Like, what's the number one thing that you saw that you might have thought like, oh, that's kind of weird that they did that with the Joker. It's kind of weird that they spun that differently. Was there anything?
I don't know if there really was anything that like stood out to me like that was blaring. I mean, there were things like, I mean, but then they kind of rectified them. I'm like, it's, you know, I would be surprised if they didn't reveal somehow, some way that his real name wasn't Arthur Fleck and stuff like that. But
it was that Edward Nygma?
Yes. Riddle me this, Batman. but no, yeah, nothing I thought. And then I think that was like one of the smartest moves on their part. Like they didn't use comic book anything to really like weigh the movie down.
Or did they? Good segue. So we should all give a certain thanks to a Mr. Alan Moore for the origin story for this movie, because I think we talked about it early on in one of the trailers, and this even the producers have admitted, the origin of this Joker is absolutely cherry-picked from the first 10 pages of The Killing Joke. It's taken in a different direction, and it's one of the reasons when I first read The Killing Joke years ago, I was like, fuck, this story is hardcore.
Is that the one where he shoots Barbara in the back?
It gives an origin story for the Joker where he is a ex-engineer. He's this kind of sad sack, nerdy guy. His wife is pregnant. He's not supplying for her. He quits.
Sounds exactly like the movie.
Wait for it. Just wait for it. He quits his job to become a stand-up comedian, and he's terrible. Yeah. And then she dies in this horrific
kind of accidental manner.
It sets the stage for, and that's about as much as it goes, and then he gets caught up with these crime bosses and stuff. But it does set the stage for the fact that his backstory wasn't evil, and he wasn't some evil genius. He was just a guy
who was down on his luck. Downtrodden,
and
if you will.
This movie takes that and takes it, I think it expands upon it in a great way in his own backstory, but it does give you this like, fuck, he's just this guy who's been like shit on his whole life and beaten.
And this is not like a complaint or anything, but it's like I almost was hoping for like the Joker's. I feel like his mantra is all it takes is one bad day,
right?
But the movie was not one bad day. The movie was like
one bad
his
life.
Whole life.
Yep.
But even then, I almost wish they would have found a way to build it up to the point where it's like he's done. Like he snaps. There's no going back. There's like he kills three guys on the train. But then he's still like a good son to his mother. And he's going about his life and fantasizing about a girl. Then he kills his mom and he's hopeful that he's going to be on a talk show. Like, it's like it was a weird chain of events. Like,
yes, yeah.
Bad things happened and he really just kind of like grazed over it. Obviously, the straw that broke the camel's back was when he found out he was adopted and beaten by some hillbilly boyfriend. And
what a great scene.
It was.
When he grabs the file.
But it's like, I wish that was like the thing. Like he hadn't maybe killed those three guys on the train. Like first he kills his mom, then he starts going like batshit crazy.
Because yes,
it was just weird to see like when he said it. Didn't he say it like he's like, I killed three guys? Or what did he say to the clerk? He said something along the lines like,
oh, he's yeah, like, yeah, I've done bad things.
I did bad things to somebody who did something to me. And you could even see the clerk there is just trying to kind of put it together. And he didn't necessarily connect those dots, but he's like, this fucker is dangerous.
Yeah.
I did love the
headbutts.
It wasn't
lots of headbutts.
Lots of headbutts. Could you imagine catching one of those?
Oh, no.
You're gone.
He's like, felt no pain.
Yeah. See, glass, steel. Yeah.
So it wasn't a day, but the period from the beginning of the movie to his kind of transformation.
Back probably
to
what 2 weeks, to, right?
It's not that big of a period of time. And even then, none of it seems like that realized. He just seems like he's just kind of rolling with, like, his actions aren't always connected to anything. Like, when he kills the guy who gave him the gun, it's just so like I thought of it like a snake
attack.
That
was his first turn, I think. That, like, was his just, first violent turn in the movie, wasn't it?
It was such a moment.
He had just killed his mom.
Yeah, yes.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
Yes, because he was getting ready to go in the show with Murray.
Like, I swear, up until the point he actually was in the dressing room, I was like, wait, that's real? Like, when they did it so perfect where he saw his clip on TV and the girlfriend was out of the room, you're just like, oh, well, this is all in his head again. And then, like, when they called again, I'm like, is that in his head? So I think I was nicely confused as to far what was real and what wasn't real. I'm like, holy shit, he's going on this show. This is, he's there. But, did you guys pick up on when De Niro, we had him on the show, or before he had him on, he had the clip on there and he called him Joker in the clip?
Yeah.
That's the origin of his name. I totally missed out on that until he was in the dressing room.
Doesn't he say, like, get a hold of this Joker or something?
Yeah, get a hold of this Joker. Totally didn't even pick up on it. I was like, oh, he's just shitting on him. And then when he's in the dressing room, he's like,
I didn't catch it the first time either.
Oh, fuck, it's so good.
When he brings that up,
it's like, that's my favorite scene.
He's like, hey, can you do me a favor? Yes. Can you introduce me as Joker? And he's like, why? He's like, well, on the first time the first time you showed the clip, you called me that. Like, right there, De Niro should be like, oh, fuck. Like, you didn't get any amount. Like, you didn't feel like this dude is a little.
Well, and that was the point where I was like, small, he's meek, he's not going to do
it. He was very small.
That was the point where I was like, oh, he's going to shoot him on TV. This is going to be off. Like,
I will say 100%. One of my favorite subtle moments of the movie was,
John Travolta's portrayal of Scarecrow.
Yep.
Get out of my fucking head, man. The scene where, it's a two-part scene where he's sitting in his apartment and he's goes behind the curtain and he pretends like he's on the show, and then he sits down and he's like, knock, knock, and he pulls out a gun and he shoots himself in the head, or, goes through the motions of it. And then when he's on the show and he's like, knock, knock, and then he goes to reach for what he thinks is a gun.
He grabs his book.
And I was like, oh, maybe he's not going to kill Robert De Niro. And I'm like, maybe he's going to, like, just use this as a chance to, like, propaganda himself. He did not.
Nope. But same thing. I was like, oh, fuck, he's not doing it with a gun. This is kind of a letdown. But they're doing that to the audience because they took you down a certain expectation road and then they curveball it.
Real question, real talk. How much of a chub did you get when he was making out with that old lady on the set?
Oh, the Dr. Ruth Weisheimer?
Dr. Ruth, or,
Let's just say this. It lasted more than 4 hours and I sought medical help.
For the listeners, there was a high five in the room.
I think they could figure that out.
They don't know. We could have just crossed swords.
So
I've heard a pretty
got weird, right?
Pretty,
got weird.
Pretty intense.
To back up what you were saying, it was a very slow build. It was a very slow movie, and it took its time. Oh, it's and that's so what slow. I think that's what people are going to. It wasn't a slow burn because it kept pace.
Mm-hmm. They did throw in, like, a random death here and there.
Very random.
But I was gonna. What's the director's name?
Todd Phillips
took his time with stuff, and it's good that he was a comedic director first, because that's what he was exercising in this movie. At least that's what I think, because there were scenes where they went on. It was like the rule of threes, where it went on for just a long enough amount of time to get to paint the picture for you.
Yep.
And then it went on a little longer, and then it went on a little longer, and then it went on a little longer, to the point where it just gets really uncomfortable, and then it would cut to the next scene. So they did that a lot, and I think that was on purpose, and I think that was a purposeful choice to make you feel gradually more and more, just creeped out by this.
Creeped anxious.
By this dude.
There's,
anxious.
There's quite a bit of anxiety.
A lot of anxiety in this movie.
Tons. There was, how many scenes?
Slow building.
How many scenes did we have, which what you're describing, where it was just Fleck alone smoking, fucking chain smoked like crazy throughout this movie, doing weird dancing, doing some kind of, like, there's just drawn out scenes that are just to kind of watch him implode, explode.
It makes you feel like you're there.
Oh, it's definitely fly on the wall type of movie, which good, bad, but it's also, like we said when we left it, you felt every minute of that 2 hours. Like, it's not like it flies by. It's a painful 2 hour process.
I listened to some of that. Joaquin
it was
Phoenix.
Two and a half. It felt like a 2.5 hour movie, and it was only a 2 hour movie,
which is crazy.
Which I don't know if that's a good or a bad thing. Like, it felt longer than it needed to be, but also I don't know if I would have wanted to miss. Like, you know, like when you're like, oh, that movie could have been 30 minutes shorter. No, it couldn't have, but it also felt the full length.
It did. One callback, you mentioned earlier when he was practicing with a curtain thing. Mm-hmm. So we have it referenced. It's in every article out there, but it is important to note that the two big things that they've connected this to are
Back to the Future 3.
Back to the Future 3 and Chairman of the Board starring Carrot Top. No, it's actually so Scorsese, back to him, The King of Comedy and Taxi Driver. And what's interesting about that is those are very, they say that with very heavy duty inspiration. It's crazy how much King of Comedy inspires, and almost this is a de facto sequel to, because the talk show host played by De Niro in this previous movie, King of Comedy, he was basically the Fleck character, where he was a failing comedian that goes nuts and kidnaps the host of a talk show. They're very allegorical. They tie into each other. Yeah. They continue each other.
Yeah.
And then Taxi Driver is this kind of, you guys have sure seen it.
Yeah.
But both of those movies were ones I was like, oh, I could get them. I appreciate them. They're well made. But they're also this just depressing look at a depressing, sad character in a depressing New York. And this movie lives in that same circle, so much so that I'm like, I came out as like, I really feel like I shouldn't like this movie because it's just so down and so depressing. But
back, you know, back in high school, there were movies that you can tell, like if someone came to high school and was wearing his
Reservoir Dogs t-shirt.
No, not Reservoir Dogs. That's
Trapper Keeper.
That's too cool.
Deer Hunter.
No.
Was that a movie?
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of a good example.
Yeah. Rush roulette scene.
Mm.
Diddy Mel.
I know it was old a cool thing, but like a shoot orange.
Oh, MC Hammer pants.
Clockwork Orange?
Clockwork Orange t-shirt.
Oh. I still think
old school.
Kid
comes to high school, sophomore in high school, and claims his favorite movie is Clockwork Orange.
If you're not fucking terrified of that kid, you should be.
Right.
Yeah. So this is another one of those movies where sophomores in high school now, if there's a sophomore, I shouldn't be talking like this. I feel bad talking like this, but if you see a kid whose favorite movie now is Joker and has watched it 12 times in the theater and then gets it on digital and then watches it another 26 times and wears a t-shirt and then starts, you have to be afraid of that kid. I think that's what...
Oh, I would say I think you just have to listen to that kid, because what that's
You're
basically...
You're right. I should not have said that.
No, but no, legit.
No, it's fine. We have established you are the villain on this podcast.
Oh, 100%.
So, I mean...
But I think it's anybody... Because I think that this movie is so fucking real in how it portrays him and his mental challenges and what he's going through, that if you are faced with... If I was faced with something like that, I'm thinking that person is basically... It's like a cry for help saying, hey... I see, and it's a lot of times in movies, we see bits and pieces of ourselves. And in this case, fucking, he is, take out the Joker business. It's just this really shit on guy that eventually goes psycho.
If he didn't wear the face paint, he is just a human. He's, you know, he's not a super person or
right.
whatever.
But he's got a plan.
I think he was pretty super.
He was a super guy.
Yeah. He's going to come to work tomorrow wearing a Joker shirt.
So,
but it's gonna be Jared Leto. Then we're gonna be really worried.
No, I'll just beat the shit out of him. Right? I mean, let's be honest, because I love you. The thing that like threw me throughout the whole film was how many fucking times did they play the song "That's Life" by Frank Sinatra? It had to be in the double digits.
Yep.
But at the end of the movie, like I feel like I didn't need it, but I appreciated it. Like that's the message. Whether this guy's wearing a face mask or not, or what, that is life though. People are poor, people get shit on, people are rich, people are assholes. It's like, you just basically told the story of a dude's three-week experience to, you know, where most people don't go, thankfully. Like, you know, people aren't getting shot on the subway, but, I mean, shit, it's just, it could happen to anyone who's, like, down on their luck.
That's it. And when when they take away his, like, counseling and things like that, those are situations where
and more shit that really
real,
happens.
Real, it's poverty.
It's fucked up, but social services are, like, the first things to get cut. No one cares about the people who have mental, you know, ailments.
Right.
Like, fuck, 20 years ago, if you said you had depression, like, get this guy the fuck out of here. Like,
I mean, that's what Chewie says all the time.
I know. He beats me to this day.
I know, right? Well, that's fine. You got your opinions. It's okay. You're entitled to them.
I do have my opinions, and I will stick to them until until tomorrow. There are... Didn't you think this movie was a good origin story just for Gotham?
No.
No?
Yes and no. Like, I said this... What was the first thing I said when I came out of this theater? What was the first thing I said?
You don't want to see Batman in this
universe? I would be done.
What if you saw this Joker in a new Batman universe?
No.
Again, it's too real. Like,
yeah.
This would be my final thought. I told this to Three Toes. The reason Heath Ledger is the absolute quintessential Joker is he is the fucking apex of realism and comic books. Like, he melded them flawlessly. Just real enough, but just comic book enough. No one will ever do that again. That Joker could be in any...
Jared Leto.
Cesar Romero was a better Joker than him, and that's saying a lot. He sucked.
Oh.
Shave the mustache, old man.
You and I are going to exchange fisticuffs.
Well, okay, so that's a good transition. We don't have a lot of time left to how we're going to put a bow on this. But I do have one other thought about the movie, and that's at the end, he shoots De Niro in the head.
Yes.
And then he shoots De Niro in the chest. And then it looks like he's going to go back and shoot him a third time. Did either of you want him to shoot him, like just for comedic effect? Just, like, keep go back and keep...
I think the second shot was comedic. Or it made you think, like he is done. Like, the break is done. This guy's nuts. Like, he shot a dude in the head, and he's like, fuck it, I'll shoot him one more time. Like,
yeah. No, I think the payoff was there that he did. Okay. I think they toyed with us quite a bit. And actually, it was what Doom mentioned earlier, where he didn't go through with the knock-knock choke the way he was. He didn't kill himself, because we kind of knew he wasn't. You expected him to go after De Niro. He didn't. And then he does at the end, where he's just like, and what was the setup for that? He's like, I got one more joke. And De Niro's like, no, that's enough. Get the police. And that's when he shoots him. So I think just a really good fucking with us. And then the payoff was just there.
Language mash.
Yeah.
And three toes. Yeah. Edit that part out.
It's all good.
So the tie bow on this one, we're going to go through.
This was the darkest cast we've ever had.
It is the darkest.
It's the darkest movie we'll probably ever review, period. I'll never watch a movie like that out of choice, unless it's in this kind of universe.
If this
didn't have the word Joker. This is, Logan, I was going to bring this up at the beginning of the cast. Logan, which I liked. But the first, like, 30, 40 minutes of that movie is like, motherfucker, this movie is so depressing.
Oh, my God. And it ended, like, it was depressing throughout.
And because, and the same thing we talked about in our previous cast, is because if you take away the X-Men factor, you're dealing with an old guy who's got Alzheimer's. Another guy who's dying cancer and has turned into an alcoholic. It's basically an ex-cop and his dad's story that just end up, and they did this great stuff all their life, and then they get shit on and die.
But there's superhero threads in that movie. There's doppelgangers.
It gets way more so than Joker.
And frankly, it's a testament to what they did. It turns out it was a really great idea. It's just fucking depressing. This movie, the same direction.
100%.
Fucking depressing.
Yeah. Man,
and it doesn't help we don't have the board, so I can't use the sound effects.
Helen.
So
Transformers.
Is he? I did the worst Transformers.
Wasn't impression. Logan so sad and depressing? If we don't hear that every podcast, I'm gonna be upset.
That's what they ask for.
I think I know the answer.
Fans want.
So we're gonna end it with a question, and the question is top three Jokers. And I'm gonna rattle off a list of some
I only know two.
Just so I can throw them on the table. We have Jared Leto.
No,
I'm sorry. Jack Nicholson.
Number two.
Wait.
Hold on. Yeah, hold on.
You're forgetting one.
So Jared Leto, Jack Nicholson, Mark Hamill, Cesar Romero. Cameron Monaghan.
Oh, that's the young kid, right?
He's the young kid.
Gotham.
Yeah. Mm. Those are the ones I'm going to throw. There's a ton of other ones.
What was the last one? Howard Steele?
Oh, no. No. I looked up a list of people who've played Jokers, and they're Randy Steele.
Randy Steele, not from, Howard Steele. Sorry.
From the porn industry.
As soon as you said Howard Steele, I was just like, this is definitely porn parody.
Yeah. I guess there's a Batman porn parody and he plays the Joker. And I'm sure, singular? I'm sure he plays the Joker with a much harder
edge. He's the extended.
He's the extended
universe porn Joker.
Extended universe.
Oh, you see what extendees.
These jokes write themselves.
Okay, so top three from each of us. In order of from three to one, because we want to build anxiety.
Three to one. Mark Hamill is number three. Jack Nicholson is number two, and Heath Ledger is number one. I don't think Joaquin Phoenix. Not that he did a bad job, but he really
he's not even on your top three.
He just wasn't. It's like again, he's it comes back to that he wasn't really a Joker. He was just a crazy person. Like he didn't like have. I don't know. He didn't have as many elements as the others did. For the Joker.
Yeah.
I still liked it though. A-.
A- for the movie.
Okay. Yeah, and this, I mean, and it's good that we didn't come out of the gate saying whether we liked it or not. So we also got to put in our thoughts on the movie, final thoughts. Got a ranking?
Yeah, Randy Steele. No.
Damn.
I'm going Jack Nicholson number three. And I'm going. No, I take that back. I'm going Joaquin Phoenix number 3, Jack Nicholson number 2, and Heath Ledger number 1. Just because I liked the movie last night so much, and I do believe he probably deserves credit for what he did.
He deserves an Oscar. The Oscars tend to shy away from superhero stuff, but his performance, which we haven't talked about, it is so gut-wrenching. That laugh, we haven't talked about his laugh, which apparently took him a long time to get, is this insane, perfect, depression, sad, it's a tick, he cannot avoid it. And how he emotes through it, and fucking the weight loss, his performance, like or hate this movie, it's one of the best.
Jared Leto, take some fucking notes.
We mentioned this after the movie yesterday. DC has a problem. They can't use that Jared Leto Joker anymore. And I mean, they can, but
they could.
It's
but it was
be
so
a
missing.
Joke.
Now that you know Joaquin Phoenix can do it, yeah.
No, but I think, but the problem, and with this movie and the way he's done it in this one, I feel like we're not going to see a Joker in the Batverse for quite a while.
Even though Suicide Squad's coming out, even though Birds of Prey is
there'll
coming out,
there'll be no out, Joker in either of those.
I got one
no Joker
final
in
question.
Wait,
for
a chance,
the cast and the audience. But what is your
ranking? Okay, so it's tough for me to put the new Joaquin one into any kind of a list because I haven't really fully processed. I think it's amazing. I think he did an incredible job. But if forced to pick, Nicholson 3, Cesar Romero 2. I'll explain in a minute. And number 1, Heath. And the reason for me, Cesar Romero ties back from the old guy.
That's for me with Mark Hamill. Exactly. Yes. The animated Batman, like. Exactly.
Hamill's, and I fucking love Hamill, but I've only in the past couple of years have really gotten into the animated thing. So I just have Caesar. I mean, I grew up on that Batman. So he's awesome. But he's number 1, of course.
So, in your honest opinion, so my last question before I have to run out of here, could Joaquin Phoenix's Joker be in an extended universe? Like, I just started thinking, he do that was so, like, sick and twisted that you couldn't pull him into a lighter, because I feel like the end, and I was talking to Chewie about this, that end scene, like, he murders an innocent woman and he's walking down the hall and he starts dancing, and then he runs down the corridor and he sees an orderly chase, and it was extremely disturbingly funny, but all you have to do is tweak it a little bit and it becomes not lighthearted enough, he just murdered somebody, but like
he could be pulled into like the Nolan universe.
I think the answer is no, and the reason is because he doesn't have any big picture plan vision.
Yet.
Period. Like he even says in there, he says it on the show, the talk show. He's like, I just want to make people laugh. Like that's all he wanted to do.
But
he flips a switch and goes psycho.
Same thing with Heath Ledger. Like he played that off well. But he's like, I don't have any plans. Like, I just want to watch the world burn.
Yeah, but that was perfect.
That was his plan.
It was his plan.
He says he wants to make people laugh, but what joke did he find funny? What joke did he tell on the show? He thought it was funny that someone died.
Oh, knock joke.
He was like, knock knock, someone died.
It was pretty good.
Yeah.
I also thought back to the original Nicholson Joker with his evil plan with the laughing gas was to cause people to laugh to death.
I was like,
oh, that's kind of like.
But I'm like, if they pull that shit off in this movie, I'm like, that'd be weird as hell. Like, where's he going to get gas canisters?
That's his tick, which is what the Nicholson Joker used. So.
Yeah. And I'm going to leave you with this. Remington Steele, was that his name?
No.
Roger definitely Steele? Gone off the board.
Russell Steele.
Yeah, something Steele.
Favorite line, Todd Phillips. Can I help you? I'm here for the gangbang. Thanks, Mr. Phillips.
Yeah.
Final review, final thought on the movie, liked it, hated it, rating, you gave it A-.
A minus.
Yeah. I did not expect to like it that much. But no real aspirations of rewatching. I don't know if I can.
3 A minuses calls for a tip touch. Tip touch unite.
To your Remington Steel guy.
What can we do to push this one over the edge? Okay, so yeah.
All right.
That's it for this cast.
Sweet. All right. Spoilers.
Yeah. Tune in next week.
Spoiler alert.
Yeah, tune in next week. We're going to be talking
Remington Steel.
Yeah, yes. Remington Steel, yeah.
And
probably some more Joker because it's stuck with us.
Oh, yeah. There's more.
Sticks to your ribs.
All right. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in to another episode of the Asteroid Factory podcast. I don't really remember how this outro goes. I don't have the sheet of paper in front of me.
Y'all take care.
Yeah. Put your ankles in.
Love ya. Bye.